Will do.
We're live.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Carl Gay. I'm the president for the Lane Transit District Board, and welcome to our special board meeting on today, Wednesday, July 22nd. Just so you know, I am actually broadcasting to you live. I know I look like a field reporter, but this is Guy Lee Station, an MX stop on Harlow. It's the one pretty close to my neighborhood, and I'm doing this because I want to be the first board member to hold a meeting from an actual transit station. And so I win and this honor. And so so the first time will be from Springfield. Anyway, welcome to everyone who's here, staff, board members, and members of the public. I do call this meeting to order, and we'll do a quick roll call. Unfortunately, Kate Reed was not able to join us today, but just checking to see if Josh Stove is here.
I'm here.
Hi, Josh and Don Norton. We'll skip Don for now. Caitlin Vargas. And Stephen Yet. And Emily Secord.
Here.
Wait, is it just me, Josh, and Emily? Is that it?
Yep.
Oh, so just three. Okay, so we don't have quorum, so we can't talk about anything that requires any decision making. That's just too bad. I'm trying to make a historical impact here. It's okay. Oh, I wanted to mention, I really appreciate one of the things I got to see was we did have an LTD staff member come through and spray the rails down here. Now I am a field reporter. And it was great to see the person go through and sanitize all the rails. And I did see a few people, people wearing masks, getting on the MX, and saw a few go by. It would be perfect if during this meeting a couple MXs went by. So anyway, there's that. And I don't have any other comments. AJ, do you have any other comments as general manager?
I don't. I think you covered all the highlights. So great.
Thanks. Thank you, AJ. Any announcements or additions to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. We'll go ahead and go straight to the ridership update. Tom, please take it away.
You're Thanks, muted. Carl. Yep, I got it. Okay, so for this week, you can see from our starting point here that looking at total boardings by day, very, very similar, you know, hovering around 12,000 a day over the time, except obviously for Sundays. And then boardings after 8:30 have been, I would say, down slightly. Again, you can kind of imagine a trend line here. That could be for a variety of reasons. We do tend to see dampened ridership in the summer. Why that would be after 8:30, I'm not sure, except we are in a lockdown. So with that, just moving to passenger loads, you can see very similar patterns over time, but I would note that in the past couple of weeks, really things are a lot, a little bit different in terms of with the exception of a couple of instances on the 13, most of the overloads, we're talking about, you know, maybe two trips a day. And again, those overloads are short-lived in terms of they happen, the bus travels a few blocks, they tend to dissipate. Looking at the 60-foot buses, very similar. Interestingly, this week, for the first time, we had a Monday with no overloads. There we go. And then yesterday we had a couple on MX. We did update the map that we've shown you before. This is this last week. And I'm going to show you the map from last time. And you will notice, oops, you know what? let me get out of here. I hid this map. That's the problem. Okay. So I'm going to go back into slideshow mode. So this is the first week of June, and you can see the distribution of average overloads for that's for the whole weekday, 5 days. And when you look at just last week, what you notice is fewer places for overloads, which we found interesting. And that starts to match up with what you were seeing in terms of slightly lower incidents by day for the last week. Some different locations, if you notice, this eastern edge of Main Street had three places where there are some overloads. Those weren't there at the beginning of June. Again, not sure exactly, I don't have any definitive reasons why that would be, but that's just kind of a change. So that's what we're looking at. We know we are doing more to try and manage those things. So hopefully that's something we can continue to manage. this is an update to the chart that we've been showing. Again, this last week, very similar in pattern by time of day. Very consistent, from about this point forward in time for several weeks, multiple months, we're seeing very similar patterns in terms of ridership by time of day. We've been trending upward on the last few weeks, though. Again, as I am suspecting, summertime brings slightly lower ridership. People are out of town doing different things. So we don't see the same patterns. this is the call volume for RideSource, and very similar patterns. Slightly more calls this week than we've seen in other work weeks. We'll continue to watch that and see if that is a trend. And here's the ridership. Interesting that the ridership isn't that different for the last couple of days. Very steady level of ridership over this time. And that's what I have. This is showing something I think it really graphically depicts what's been going around, what you've seen going around the country. But this is the number of cases by date, COVID cases in Oregon. You can see back here we were thinking that things would not last very long. A lot of people were projecting things would be ending in July, August time period. And of course, that's not what's going on here. So interesting graphic from Esri, if you're familiar with Esri. They make the ArcGIS products. Their website has a lot of good types of data like this related to COVID. So ask if you have any questions.
Thank you very much, Tom. And I want to note for the record that it looks like Caitlin and Don have joined us. And you two missed my momentous occasion where I am broadcasting from Guy Lee Station on Harlow. So first time ever hosting a meeting from an actual station. But that's not that big a deal. Anyone want to ask questions of Tom? I can't see your hands because I can only see four people at a time. So you'd have to just go ahead and say stuff.
Josh Gove has his hand up.
Go ahead, Josh.
I do, I feel so upstaged, Carl. I'm super impressed that you're at a bus station, and then there's the baby. I mean, it's all too much. So let me dive in with just a couple of questions. And as always, Tom, thanks for putting all this out there. Not everyone on the on the Zoom today will know this, but I sent to the full board some other reflections last week on ridership and safety, and also on, I also sent a picture from actually the most crowded bus that I've been on since the pandemic got underway. It was right around 20 people, so it was just below the threshold that that we're allowing now on 40-foot buses. I just have a couple of observations, and then Tom, I want to ask you about some of the ideas that I had in there. The first is that as I look at the data, and I apologize for not, for needing this to percolate over time, really kind of think about it. I'm a little concerned that some of the ways that we present the data actually obscure certain things. So for example, when we have a particular threshold and the heat map only shows things above that threshold, we don't have a sense of how often the buses have 10 or 12 or 15 people instead of 20. And so we might not be kind of gauging how often the buses are full enough to spook some people. I think that's really what I want to get at. So I'm curious if the heat maps that I shared from BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, this is light rail for people who may not know, little different situation, but there they have heat maps that sort of cover the whole day. I'm curious if you have any ideas like that or how doable that is. And I know that I know staff time is scarce, but I'm looking ahead to the fall and the winter, and I'm trying to think about the ways in which we might communicate relative levels of risk to people in a little more granular way.
Well, the first thought that comes to my mind is, I saw the BART stuff. I've actually seen that. I mean, I'm familiar with it. But I think, again, we're a much smaller system. And so what I'd be looking to do is, we've got the data in a certain form. We were tracking up to 15 before. We were tracking 20 now. We're tracking 30 for 60-foot buses. So one approach would be to, and we'll have to think about how we do this, but we could show a little more granularity. I'm not sure total granularity is going to be make the data more apparent, but there's things, ways that we can do this that show kind of where we're having loads of different levels. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying, but I don't know that we would need to go in some gradation down to, a couple people on the bus, for example. We're looking for, around 20.
Let me clarify. I guess that what is helpful about, I guess there are two kinds of granularity. One is the concentration of people, and the other is time of day. And what's easy to read about the bar, the BART data are not like, it's not like a bunch of raw data. You can just sort of look at a schedule and see parts of a route and time of day, and it's color coded. And so you can kind of see where the hot spots are in space and time. And a lot of people might be, again, you guys, as I say this every time, I'm not trying to get people to rush into dangerous situations. I take the safety issues really seriously, and we are doing so much as a transit agency already. I wouldn't want people to avoid transit generically when times of day and certain parts of certain routes are actually pretty safe and not very well used, if those are actually useful to them. So there's this opportunity to connect people with safe transit opportunities that I don't want to miss. That's the basic idea.
Okay. Well, I think we can work on it. Again, we have the data. It's figuring out what's the most useful format, I think.
Thanks, Carl, Tom.
Caitlin, and I'm going to add myself to the list. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I guess Josh and I would just respond to that. Do you feel like we have the bandwidth to even push that information out? So how would we use that data? Because that's, a new way of collecting things and more staff time. And then how are we transmitting that information so that community members and riders are able to make these informed decisions. Is that really something that we can do right now?
I mean, it's a great question, and it's really a question for AJ and Tom and staff. I don't know. I guess I'm just sort of probing and trying to figure out what we can do that, you know, where we take the data we are collecting and process it in the form that it, where it could inform decisions. And right now, we don't really have anything other than the sort of very general stuff that's useful for us at a board level, but less useful at a writer level.
I understand that. I just want to be cognizant of what's happening right now in terms of information overload, just in general. Every day we're saying what's going on with unemployment and stimulus checks and COVID cases, and now 5-year-olds wear a mask. And so in a time of, I'd say information fatigue, that we just have to make sure we're not spinning our wheels and saying, oh, we should be pumping out this information that really is just getting lost in a sea. Because I just think our staff is working really hard right now, and we have to prioritize things right now. So consistently asking the staff to do more and more things, let's really weigh that carefully and make a team decision on that.
100%. I completely agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Totally. And I'm just bringing up ideas so we can have a conversation about it. I don't think we as an agency are overwhelming people with information, but you're absolutely right that there's a ton out there and people are overwhelmed. I hear that every day too. I agree with everything you said.
I appreciate you two talking that point out. Don, I'm going to say something really quick, and then I'll thank you, Camille, and then Don, I'll have you go next. I wanted to say that this data could potentially be useful, but I feel like we actually know some things already, which is that based on my experience with people, they're not, even if you could show that there were times where there was yet being less utilized, their lives aren't being scheduled that way. If they're going out, I find that often they're going out because that's the time they need to go out at. I think it'd be more worthwhile, and I know AJ is working on this with staff to better understand, you know, what our ridership needs, what our other business partners and community partners need. And I think, for me, I would rather have staff spending, you know, time on those issues. And going to Caitlin's point, I think staff time is valuable, and we should figure out how best to direct them to utilize that. And then Don, go ahead.
I just wondering, we see the data on how much, you know, we get an overload. Are there people with an overload? Is that happening? Or do we just notice that, kind of pull it down?
Sorry, you're breaking up, Don. I didn't hear important parts of the question.
I was wondering if there was actually anyone being actually left on the sidewalk, you know, because the bus is overloaded, or do we just note that it's, you know, got an extra person?
No, we, and Mark, maybe you can speak to this, but yeah, we pay attention to how many people are on the bus, whether people waiting or wearing masks and things like that. So people can get left.
Okay. Did that answer your question, Don?
Well, the question was, are people being left because of the bus being overloaded?
Yeah, very rarely. I mean, you know, there's some time because, you know, sometimes people travel together and, you know, and so they'll allow, and that's probably some of the overloads. If they've got 4 people traveling together, get on a bus and it puts it at 22, you know, they're not going to say only 2 of you can ride. Right. And so, you know, on occasion there are times where we'll say, sorry, I'm full, you know, you got to wait for the next bus. But it's not much.
I just wonder how it works with the driver being up front, people getting in the back door, and
he doesn't open the back door, Don. They've got speakers and they can tell the riders, sorry, the bus is full, I can't accommodate you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Carl. Thanks for explaining that, Mark. Sorry, AJ, were you saying something?
Yes. Go ahead. Want to address the communication that we're having about our ridership in the next few weeks, in the next few months. Some of the major focus right now has been is what's going to happen in the fall with the university, the college, and the school districts. A lot of our energy over the last couple of weeks have been in those communication. As you know, all of those not only have students, but they also have employment, their employment bases. So based on those employment bases is what we have really been spending our energy is figuring out what's happening with the school districts. And Mark can talk a little bit more about details, having information come out in the recent days. We are going to be looking how LTD deploys its fleet to address that. And we are still encouraging riders to only take essential travel. So we're not trying to say if there's capacity, come jump on our buses. What we're saying, if it's not essential trip, the safest place you can be is at home for now. So we're not really putting information out to encourage anything more than essential travel or incidental travel that's needed, you know. But we do know that our resources are going to have to respond in some way to some of the students and employment that will start up in the fall. And that's where a lot of our communication is being spent. I know Tom's staff, myself, have been reaching out to the school districts, and in recent communications, they've been very complimentary that LTD is actually proactively reaching out to try to engage in, you know, what role can we play? We can't solve all the problems, but we think we can play a valuable role in it. And we are willing to really take whatever action is within our authority and within our capabilities to be able to support that. So I just want to make sure that what we're doing is really trying to address the need that there is. And we feel that the addressing the school-age children and the university and the college, because they're both employment centers and education centers, are probably where a lot of our energy is best utilized over the next several months. So just want to...
Yeah, and those are really good points, AJ. And I think also what we're running up against now is vehicle traffic has increased considerably. So we're back up to, you know, almost normal weekday vehicle traffic. And so our Sunday service level and timing is not working. So, you know, on some routes, we're just constantly running late or putting the drivers under stress. So as we're, you know, looking at how to handle that for fall, we've got to adjust some timing and some different things. Because so it seems, even though people aren't commuting to work, they're still out and about quite a bit. And so we're having to really look at that and understand, you know, what that means to our system and on-time performance and where we need to add time to certain trips and certain runs. So.
The other thing I would add to all this is that, and we've mentioned this before, but when we see persistent overloads, we've been adding a trip during that period of time to try and fix that. We're doing that, for example, on the 66 now. And I actually think you can see the results. We still get overloads on the 66, but not as many.
As a quick note, that bus, this is Josh, that bus that I was on with 20 people, that was on the 66-67 loop.
Yeah. And we've lost our moderator, our chair, or president. So, Don, you're the senior guy, or Josh, I think you're the treasurer, one of you guys. Some of the... Don is on mute.
Josh, as the secretary, would be the next appropriate to take over.
Thank you.
I'm sure no one wants me in charge. But the do people have more questions? Caitlin, Emily, any more questions about this stuff? Or Don? Well, then I guess the
the one thing I would say is just thank you to staff for, you know, again, for putting all this together. And I want to make sure you read my questions and comments the right way. I'm just trying to make sure that although we are not, you know, to AJ's point, not out there trying to get tons of people on buses, I do want to be aware of the fact that not only do we have students returning before too long, and then also a lot of people who are unemployed, who weren't, and so probably more transit need kind of baked in the community. I just want to make sure that we are helping people make the best and safest choices they can as they're moving around. And I don't want staff to lose sleep over, you know, stay up late doing this, pull all-nighters. I don't want time to pull an all-nighter making new graphs, but I do want to make sure we are really sort of having this discussion every week and thinking about, like, how can we help people make the best decisions? I heard a little plink. Did Carl come back? Did we get him back, Camille, or no?
No, we did not.
All right. Well, board members who remain, any final comments? Nothing? Another view of the baby, maybe? No, just kidding. I'm not trying to put any pressure on. Okay. Well, then I think we're at the end of the meeting. AJ, do you have anything else for us?
Yep. Not at all.
Wait, Josh?
Yeah, Don, go for it.
I'm sorry. For some reason, everything got cut off and I had to re-get into the meeting. But, well, Kate's not here and now Carl's gone, but I wanted to request that the Sustainability Committee be reconvened. And now you're the senior person here. So, but I suppose we should talk to Kate and Carl about that. You may have gotten an email from me from the APTA website earlier, and I wanted to pursue that.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I will make sure that we ask Carl to, you know, schedule another meeting, and I'm sure Kate would be on board with that as well. That would be great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, if there are no further comments, we're just about at time. And Camille, do I really have the power to adjourn?
You have the power to adjourn the meeting.
All right. We'll bank these 3 minutes for later. Thank you, everyone. Meeting adjourned.
Good night, everyone.